Hi, I'm Josh.
And I'm Lindsay.
And this is the Hideaway Podcast, episode 37.
Oh yeah, right, 37. Hey guys, I'm really sorry that you haven't heard from us in a while. We really thought we would be able to do more podcast interviews while we were here, but little did we know that it was going to feel like one long day since we landed here with no breaks. But finally, we were able to have a break.
Finally. And we did have one podcast guest lined up, Raph Cruz, who is the star of Iris and Seven Fingers Traces.
And Intercession.
Intercession. Awesome performer. But his flight got rescheduled and we weren't able to make the time work. So we're now saving Raph for episode
431.
You better be listening, Raph.
But we are planning on doing a full recap of this experience in Adelaide once we've finished. It's been very enlightening and hard and challenging and rewarding in ways. But I think we'll save it till we get back and maybe can decompress a little bit.
I do a tell-all kind of episode.
Tell-all, yeah, with maybe names, no names.
Maybe names, maybe no names. But really, we want to do an episode where we are as truthful about this festival as possible, and don't think we can do that while we're in the midst of it. So just stay tuned. You'll get the full dish soon. But what we can talk about is the shows we've seen.
Yeah.
We had an article recently with Circus Talk, so we can talk about a few other related fun, circusy things to tide you listeners over.
Yeah. But as far as Slumber, just really quickly, it's going well.
It is. The show's looking better than ever.
People love it. The critics gave us 5 stars.
Whoop, whoop.
So that's exciting. And we also saw Blanc de Blanc, which are... best buddy Spencer Novick is in.
Which was hilarious.
And Laura New, who's also our friend. Yeah.
I would definitely recommend Blanc to anybody who's looking for like a fun night out, high production value show, good circus,
all about
good
champagne
comedy.
And the
yeah, if you new if you like champagne, you will love Blanc de Blanc.
If you like champagne, you will like Blanc de Blanc, but you also shouldn't expect to get champagne to drink unless you buy it. So if you like champagne, you need to buy champagne when you're there.
Yes.
Very fun show. Just like, you know, a typical variety show, but I think it was done really, really well. And champagne is a fun topic.
It's a good theme. If you're looking for something that, you know, is the literal opposite end of the spectrum, we also saw a show by a company called Acrobat, which is a husband and wife team, Joe and Simon. They've been around the Australian circus scene for a while and are quite a big deal here, but we had not known about them. Their show, their latest show, It's Not For Everyone, was pretty unbelievable. It's the kind of thing you would see at BAM or maybe St. Anne's for those who are
New
Yorkers.
Yeah, it's very, like, heady, hard to digest a bit. You have to go in not wanting to have it, like, spelled out to you.
Yes, but basically they start off the show as these sort of acrobatic clowns, and then everything all of a sudden starts deteriorating into a very surreal world. One of the reasons we wanted to see them was because for the first week they were the show in the on the stage before we are. And obviously those who've seen Slumber know we cover the stage in blood by the end of the show. But they cover their stage with mud. Mm-hmm. So this is pretty cool mud throwing, sort of mud acrobatics scene that was really good.
And my favorite thus far, Club Briefs, which I guess is very different from their typical show Briefs, but I still had the best time.
What was Club Briefs?
Club Briefs is basically, again, a variety show hosted by this amazing performer, Fez, who is in drag but has a beard and is just so seasoned and so good at dealing with the audience.
So funny, too.
So, like, you know, he's like, please, for this 1 hour of your life, don't be on your phones. Like, no photos, just enjoy the show while you're watching it. And this girl is like on her phone in the front row while he's saying, don't be on your phone. And he's just handled her so well. And they do this weird thing in Adelaide. I think it's a fringe festival thing, but people leave in the middle of the show because they've either like booked another show or whatever. But people will leave when a performer is in the front of the, like on the ground, like right by the exit with a spotlight on them. People will leave. And in New York, you know, it's like blasphemy to leave a show unless you absolutely hate it and you're like, I'm not sitting through this. And you usually wait till intermission. Girls got up and left Club Briefs while Monkey, who is a New York performer who's absolutely incredible, was performing, and he followed them out. Like,
it was
just
so funny.
It was so funny. But again, like, just so seasoned. All of them are clever and controlled and precise, which I think makes a really good variety performer, and also just like a more burlesque performer.
A boylesque. In their case.
We also wrote an article for
Circus Talk.
For Circus Talk.
That got published, I think, this morning. But the question was basically, there's been a lot of change in the circus, American circus industry this past 6 months, this past year. Where do you see, I think the term was like the next door, like mm-hmm. the, like to open. What's the future of circus?
But you know what? We wrote this article before we came here.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about being here surrounded by circuses from Australia and the UK and maybe a little bit of Canadian scene, but really Australian.
Mostly the Australian scene.
And we are only one of like two American companies here. And there's maybe one American stand-up comedian. But it doesn't seem like people think America is producing noteworthy
work. It's because there probably isn't that much noteworthy international touring work, particularly that goes to Australia.
Exactly. And, you know, in Australia, they have a lot of government funding to do shows and not necessarily care about the financial return of them, which in turn makes a lot of shows that aren't good.
Well, I think a lot of people in America are like, why doesn't the government spend more money on the arts? Wouldn't it be like a really, really wonderful thing if there was more arts funding? Then I could get my show funded. I could get all these things would happen for me. And particularly in the wake of Trump talking about that he wants to slash the National Endowment for the Arts, which is 0.0065% of the annual U.S. budget, gives about $150 million to the arts a year, is just another example of U.S. government money being cut. This is a terrible thing. But I've actually sort of started to feel the opposite about that being here. The Adelaide Festival, in particular, gets millions of dollars in subsidies from the local government. The site we're at has a government subsidy. Many of the shows that we're seeing have government subsidies. And what that means is that a lot of content is created, which for content creators, artists, is a great thing. You're like, this is awesome. I have money to do my festival. I have money to create my venue. I have money to create the show I want to create. But the problem is that you now have all of this supply and the demand has not changed just because there is now money for it. So you make this awesome show and nobody comes to see it because there are other sites, other venues, loads of other shows. And it's a very odd double-edged sword in a way that I'd never thought about before, which is that just because you can create the thing now that maybe you hadn't created before doesn't necessarily mean there's more of an audience for it there. It's not really a, you know, you'll make it, they'll come kind of mentality here. I mean, I don't know if it is for circus anywhere, but it has sort of made me question my previous assumptions about if the U.S. had more government funding, would the circus sector be in better condition? And I would probably have said 3 or 4 weeks ago, like, yes, definitely, like more stuff would get made. But now I'm a little bit more skeptical about that, because just because content is made, if it's not seen or there's not an audience for it or it's not promoted correctly, then, you know, if a tree falls in the woods and no one is there to hear it, did it? Same kind of question.
But it's just like the age old economics of a supply and demand curve, right? Like they have to intersect at the right point for there to be enough supply for the correct amount of demand, and you always want more demand than the supply.
If you're supplying something,
exactly. And in this case, most people here are supplying something and hope that the demand is there. And it's not. It's not there. There's way too many shows. And that is because people can make these shows and then not have to worry about necessarily about the financial return of it.
Which sort of harks back to a point that Keith Bindlestiff made in his episode, which is how do American companies compete against government-subsidized companies? Mm-hmm. Because what will happen will be, we will come here, and we'll talk about this on the podcast next episode or the episode after, and we spend money we have raised to do this show here and therefore need to try to recoup as much of it as we can. Recoup means have that money returned through ticket sales so that we are able to make some amount of money on our investment. But because all these other companies have money they don't need to return because it's government subsidized, we all share the same audience. So for shows that are trying to be commercial, it actually hurts them, including Australian commercial shows, because you are competing against non-commercial shows that are funded. It is very hard to have a commercial show in a system that is funding non-commercial work, because in order for a commercial show to work, you need to have an audience looking for material.
But that's why Broadway and Off-Broadway kind of work And that's why commercial off-Broadway with nonprofit off-Broadway don't work, right? Because they're the same market. They're trying to get the same market, but at least not-for-profits have some funding that they don't have to return, whereas commercial off-Broadway is trying to get a return. And that's why it's great that you have off-Broadway and then you have Broadway, which is commercial, and basically not tapping into the same market because that's really tourists. So in the landscape of New York, where there's so much supply, really, more than there is here currently, is okay because the demand is so different and people are going after different markets. Whereas here, it's like the demand is a little old Adelaide, but, and
you know, I think,
all the same market.
Yes. And I don't want... I think it will sound like to some people, oh, Josh and Lindsay are complaining about not selling more tickets in Adelaide. But what I want to illustrate is that it's not just for shows like ours. For artists who spent 6, 5, 4 months working on a new creation, which they wrote loads of grants to get funded, and that was a lot of work, and then making it was a lot of work, and then going on stage and doing something, particularly if it's a challenging piece for the audience, is a hard thing to do.
Yeah,
and it's harder when only seven people show up.
Yeah.
And that is on the funding in the arts festival and the government, yes. I would say, even more than it is on the performer, because they're saying, please come to our festival, please do your show, here is money to do it, like we want that here. But if you want that here and you pay for it but nobody comes, it's pretty painful for the artist to have to do a show with nobody there.
Yeah. I mean, at least we do have audiences. We have pretty big audiences.
Yeah, particularly on the weekends.
And yeah, particularly on the weekends, who are having a great time. One show we had a problem where literally everyone was so drunk that people were walking around the whole show.
And then didn't they walk? We had a domestic dispute.
We had a domestic dispute on stage, which was quite the thing I've never seen ever. And the house managers were new, didn't know what to do or how to handle a situation, so they just let it happen. But this man got up on stage, and then his girlfriend was pissed and got up on stage, and they had a full on fight on stage. Basically stopped the show, and it was the worst. It was the worst, but it was hilarious. But yeah, so I don't even... Oh, but what we were talking about was Circus in America, right?
Yes, and the Circus Talk article that we wrote.
Yes, but what I was saying is, from the point of view of being here, where people don't really take American work seriously, in that sense, I feel even a greater responsibility to keep creating work and keep creating art. But I will say audiences are really enjoying it. Our show and Filament, which is the other American circus company by Joe Pinzon, who was a guest of ours. Our tents happen to be back to back to each other. And so that's a really positive thing. And I think like doing the festival ultimately is a good thing because it opens your network up incredibly to this side of the world that has a ton of circus and really respects it and wants it.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. Speaking of international circus, Circus Now is having their annual festival at NYU this March. I believe it starts next week. The Circus Now team has asked us to share a special promo code for our Hideaway podcast listeners. The promo code is CN1, which will get any of our listeners 20% off any ticket level you purchase. I believe they have a pretty good lineup this year. I know Racehorse Company is playing. Go check out their website. It's NYU Skirball, I believe. CN1 gets you 20% off your tickets.
We've gone the past 2 years. It's really nice and fun and a good snippet of different circus companies.
Also want to throw another shout out to Catherine Cavanaugh, who writes for Circus Diaries. She was a guest earlier on, but she's doing her annual Patreon campaign. So go check her website out, thecircusdiaries.com.
I'm sorry we didn't have a guest this week. Again, underestimated the amount of free time we'd have and other people would have. But we're working on it, and hopefully we'll have at least 2 or 3 guests that we record here and then release.
And if you have questions about Adelaide or how it's going, feel free to shoot those over. We'll try to address anything you guys are curious about. But stay tuned. We really will do a full dish episode.
Well, if you enjoyed this mini episode of me and Josh talking, make sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, rate us on iTunes, Twitter tweet us, and email us at hello@hideawaycircus.com.
Have a great week.
Until next week. Bye.
Bye.